Hey guys, welcome back to Unmastering Motherhood. This is Kelly and I am so glad you're listening. Listen, I've gotten your messages. I've seen some of you in person and you guys are like, where is the podcast, Kelly? Well, here it is. I'm so glad to be back. Stay tuned. Okay, so on the last podcast, I told you guys that I would be sharing my diagnosis story. So many of you have asked me, how did I find out? When did I find out? What was it like? What emotions did I have? So today I'm going to answer all those questions for you. Okay, so back in 2015, I was preparing to have Cree. I was about 35 weeks when I remember going to the doctor and her doing an ultrasound. No, sorry, scratch that. We just did a measurement. I did a measurement and I was always measuring so far ahead and she didn't really seem concerned, but I asked her, you know, like, is this normal? Is it not normal? And she was like, oh, I think it's fine. It's nothing. So, you know, she was like, but you know, I can get you in and we can do another ultrasound just so we can kind of see what the baby is looking like, etc. Now, let me refresh your memory. At this point, I have had multiple ultrasounds and I do not know anything about Down syndrome or any of the other things that they have found on the ultrasound at a later point. So as the story is right now, I don't know anything, but I've had past ultrasounds. So I would say 2 weeks later, I came back in and my doctor wasn't there, but I did see the nurse practitioner. After I had my ultrasound, the nurse practitioner was like, you know, we see something, but it's like a dilated umbilical cord. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. I'm like, huh? Don't worry about it. Like, who is going to tell a mom not to worry when you just told me that you see something on my ultrasound that wasn't there before, clearly, because you never said anything. But so I asked her what it is. She really didn't explain it, but she told me not to Google it. So of course I did Google it. But before leaving the office, she said, I'm going to have you meet with maternal fetal medicine. And I'm like, what is that? She explained they have better machines for imaging and they could just take a closer look. So she was like, I will call you to let you know when I can get you in. So I'm thinking, you want me to go home, not search Google, don't look up anything on the internet, and wait for you to tell me when my next appointment is? It was a long couple days. It was only like 3 or 4 days, I think, or maybe a week before I could get back into maternal fetal medicine. But this is where the story kind of took a turn for me. So I go into the maternal fetal medicine office and I check in. I'm called to the back and the lady that has to, like, you know, do your vitals and stuff like that, she asked me, do you know why you're here? And I'm like, yeah, the nurse practitioner told me that my son may have a dilated umbilical cord, blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, what? Really? And her face is just like, she's just looking at me like, oh, what? You know, oh, let me tell you, something just came over me at that moment. I knew that it was something, and I knew that it was not a dilated umbilical cord. She just looked so confused, and she just walked me to the back. We began the ultrasound with the tech, and it was quiet for a while. It was a ultrasound that was longer than any of my other ultrasounds. I do remember the ultrasound tech asking me questions like, did something run in your family? I don't really remember what it was, but that was like my second key that she was about to say something. So she continues and I'm like, no, this doesn't, that doesn't. And next thing you know, she's like, okay, well, you just sit tight. The doctor's going to come in and talk to you. And I'm like, okay, here it goes. You know, thinking back, I know that as soon as she started asking me questions, I already knew that it was something. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew that I was about to get some kind of news. So the doctor came in and he just was like, "Miss Kaufman, we believe your child has Down syndrome. We also see that there is some type of heart issue." They start naming all these different things that they see that led them to believe that Cree would have Down syndrome. And he was out. Like, he came in, he said that. He was like, "I'm going to give you time. I'll be back." So literally he just gave it to me and he walked out the room. I remember crying because I was alone. At this time, Travis had recently joined the Army and he was in training. So I knew that I couldn't talk to him. I called my mom, told her, and that was a hassle getting my mom on the phone because she was at work and she wasn't answering her cell phone. So I had to like Google her work number, told her, and you know, she was crying and she was like, "It's going to be okay." And that was that. And I just had to get off the phone with her because they had came back. So when they came back, they were like, "Now, you know, you're going to go talk to a geneticist and they're going to tell you, you know, so much more information about Down syndrome and all of that." But they asked me, did I want to have an amniocentesis? Now, an amniocentesis is a type of procedure where they take a needle and they draw fluid. They explained the risk, and but they assured me that, you know, if I did do the amniocentesis, I could 100% without a doubt find out that Cree had Down syndrome, because that is the only way that is 100%. A blood test is not 100%. There is some degree of accuracy, but an amniocentesis is the only way that you can say without a doubt. So they reassured me that, you know, I didn't have to do it because I was going to be delivering Cree like the next week anyway. But if I just wanted to do it, I could do it. And they, you know, said if something was to happen to the baby, you know, when we do the amniocentesis, we can go directly downstairs to the hospital. So I was like, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and do it. They prepped everything. I did the amniocentesis and later spoke with a geneticist. In the meantime, I recall calling one of my friends that worked with me, telling her, and I was like, you know, crying and telling her to tell the team, because, you know, they were in anticipation with me, you know, this week leading up to the maternal fetal medicine appointment. They, you know, were all like, "No, it's probably nothing." And, you know, I wanted to believe that too, but I think there was something in me that deep down knew that there was going to be something. So I recall calling them, and then I had to call, Travis's aunt and uncle that live in Indiana as well. And when I tell you, they were like there, it seemed like it only took them 5 minutes. They got up there so quickly, and I'm so thankful that someone was able to come up there with me. They actually went to the geneticist with me. I was able to walk right into the office. And the geneticist explains Down syndrome, explains every little thing that you could possibly want to know, down to facts about Down syndrome. And I remember them giving me like a little packet, a book, and, you know, they were just sending me on my way if I had any questions, just to let them know. And they told me that, you know, the results, they were going to like expedite the results, because I think I was going to have Cree like exactly a week later. And I did end up having him like a week later because I did have a C-section, but it was planned that way. So there was no surprise there. So yeah, I mean, for me, that was the diagnosis. I really didn't need the amniocentesis, you know. I did trust what the doctors had told me. I mean, given everything that they could see on the screens, I trusted what he said. I just remember the one thing I really questioned was, why did they not know before? Like, I had had at least 3 or 4 ultrasounds. My OB was pretty generous with those. So I was just so confused. Like, why didn't they see that? And I remember asking them, and he was just like, I don't know why. But, and I said, do you think it's something that they should have seen? Like, with all the things you're telling me, is it something they should have seen? And he was like, in my opinion, I think yes. And I was like, so, you know, that made me feel some type of way that I had had all of these ultrasounds and no one was ever able to detect it or spot it on the ultrasound. So, you know, I had to sit in that fact and know that I was going to have a child that had Down syndrome. I remember crying, you guys, but not like you would think. It was just like, I think I was like shocked. And maybe for like a day or two, I cried off and on. It was only like later when I had to talk about it with a friend or something that I would kind of get emotional about it. And I can even kind of feel myself being emotional about it right now. But I don't know why. It's only when I have to tell the story. But yeah, I don't know. It's so weird. I remember that day leaving, having to tell Ryan and Travis. I made sure I told them. I think I told Travis's mom. And then I told Facebook the exact same day that I found out. It was just like, I just wanted to get it out. I told Ryan, and Ryan was just like so amazing. And I'm going to share that post that I posted and share just how Ryan took it. It was just so amazing. And I just know that she is an amazing sister. And I just know now, you know, everything was just meant to be. Like, it just played out so perfectly. I'm glad that I found out the way I found out, when I found out. It is emotional, but it was more like shocking. I didn't ever feel like, why me? Or, oh my gosh, this is like horrible. I didn't feel that way at all. And, you know, you can ask many moms. They will tell you varying stories because, you know, everybody feels their own type of way. Everyone finds out their own type of way. One little thing I'd like to say is I previously did not realize how many women get a postnatal diagnosis, meaning their child is born and then they find out about Down syndrome. I thought that my case was just so special. Like, oh my gosh, how am I just finding out at the end? When there are women that actually don't find out until they actually birth the child. So, you know, if you ask a room full of moms that have kids with Down syndrome, I'm sure you would get so many stories. But I'm just speaking from my point of view and how I felt. I just shared with you guys a part of my diagnosis story. And although at that point it wasn't 100% confirmed because I hadn't received the results back from the amniocentesis, you know, just with all the facts that the doctor did give me, I already knew that, you know, it was Down syndrome. I did have a couple of family members and friends that were just like, no, let's just wait and see. They could be wrong. For me, they weren't wrong. You know, I mean, he was able to show me many things on the ultrasound. So, you know, I was cool with it. But I think those around me saw how I accepted it. And, you know, they couldn't really fathom that I was, in a sense, okay with it. But, you know, I was. And it was my baby. And I was going to love my baby regardless, Down syndrome or not. I wanted to share with you guys that a couple, maybe 2 months ago, I was able to go to a CREOG conference, CREOG. It was in Pittsburgh, and I went with a group of parents on behalf of the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network. And for those of you that do not know, I am on the executive board for the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network. I'm just going to say DSDN going on out. I am also a director for the Black Family network, which is a subgroup of DSDN. Guys, the trip was amazing. It opened my eyes so much. CREOG is the Council on Resident Education in Obstetrics and Gynecology. We went there with one mission, and I was absolutely blown away by our DSDN team. We were able to talk to residents about best practices when delivering a diagnosis. You guys, we talked to these young residents who are so impressionable, and not only did we give them facts, but we brought a different perspective because we are all parents to children that have Down syndrome. It was so enlightening. We were able to share not only facts, but just our opinion on ways to deliver in a much better way. We have had so many moms tell us that they have had a horrible experience when finding out that they would have a child with Down syndrome. You guys just can't even imagine some of the things that doctors say to a mom when they find out that their child has Down syndrome. So that is part of the mission of the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network. And if you are not familiar with it, or you haven't seen me share it on my Facebook or my Instagram page, I encourage you to go to the page, look at our mission, look at the work we've done. And I want to just put a little plug in. If you know a mom that has a kid with Down syndrome, tell them about me. Tell them about the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network, and let's get them connected, you guys. We have over 70 different subgroups that moms can join, because in this Down syndrome community, there are so many different facets. We have groups for children that have heart issues, that may have issues with their gastrointestinal tracts. We have just so many groups. So again, if you know someone that has a kid with Down syndrome, help me get them connected, and just do your part in spreading Down syndrome awareness. So of course, I had a C-section, and Travis was the first person to hold him. He brought him around to the side so that I can see him, and I just instantly fell in love with Cree. But I do remember saying to Travis, like, he's so cute, right? And I said it just like that because, you know, the tone in the way that I asked the question was really that. I was really asking Travis a question. Like, you think he's cute, right, Travis? Like, you're okay with this, right, Travis? You know, because I didn't share earlier, you know, when I told Travis, he was awesome. I didn't know what to expect from him, but he just calmed me down, and he was just like, Kelly, it's okay that he has Down syndrome. We're going to love him no matter what. It's just okay. It's not a big deal. Like, why are you, you know, so frantic about it? And I just was like, oh my gosh. But that's why I'm telling you guys, it was the way that people interacted with me when I told them. They were so cool, calm, and collected. I think it just helped me be cool and calm. And I don't think I was all the way collected, but I was cool and calm. And but once my husband, you know, said those words to me, and then I was able to share with Ryan, and she was just, Ryan was all about it. You know, it was just like confirmation, like, Kelly, girl, he has Down syndrome, but let's move on. Let's do what we need to do. Let's get him the care he needs. And really, that's how it was on out. But back to that day when I delivered him, it was just the way in which I asked Travis. It was just for me like confirmation, like, okay, Travis, now that he's here, you're still okay with it, right? And he said of yes, of course. But not only did he say yes, you guys, from that day out, Travis has been an amazing, amazing father to all of our children. And I mean, I'm a little jealous to say this, but Cree is a daddy's boy. As much time as I spend with Cree, I'm advocating for him like a mother. You know, he absolutely adores his daddy. And I know that Travis absolutely adores Cree. He is Cree's biggest fan. He just has all these plans for all of our children. But, you know, especially Cree, he just, you know, he wants the best for Cree. He wants Cree to have no limits put on him. And I just love it, you guys. So when people ask me, how has it affected our family? Oh my gosh, in so many positive ways. There's a hashtag that people use, you know, more up than down. I mean, we've had way more ups than we have had downs, okay? Our family is more like your family than we're not. You know, we have way more things in common. For some reason, people do think, you know, when you have a child with a disability that your life is just drastically different. And honestly, when I think about it, and I look at other people's lives and their family dynamics, ours is not much different, you guys. I know because you don't have a child, the things that you may see me do or post about, you know, on a day-to-day basis, you may think I could never do it or it must be so hard. But honestly, guys, it's just love. I'm just loving my child, doing what any good parent would do for their child if they lacked some type of ability. You know, where he falls short, we're there to make sure he has accommodations. We, you know, whether that is in school, whether that is at church, he has just been like accepted everywhere. And the school issue is another issue that I'll probably talk about on another podcast, but, he's doing so well. He, you know, of course has a younger brother, Knox. Most people think that they're twins, but they're not. They do weigh about the same. Knox just recently, gained a few more pounds than Cree, but they wear the same clothes. Knox wears one shoe size bigger than Cree. I'm pretty sure he's going to outgrow Cree, but they just love each other. Cree is the big brother. Knox knows Cree is the big brother. Cree knows he is the big brother, and it's all good in our household. All of the siblings get along so well. Ryan is an amazing, amazing big sister. She loves and takes care of Cree. She thinks that she's his mama, and I think I've told you that guys that before, but she just does an amazing job. When Travis was still away in training for a while, Ryan literally stepped in and she wanted to like learn how to feed him. She wanted to hold him. She wanted to change diapers. And ever since then, she has not stopped. Even my bonus daughter, Ava, when she came this summer, she wanted to learn how to feed Cree. So Cree is loved, you guys. He's a little celebrity in his school, in our church. Everybody loves him. Our family simply adores him. He has like more friends than everybody. you know, so again, when it comes to that question, how does it affect our family dynamics? It is awesome. And again, this is just my story. I'm not saying that there aren't any down times or there aren't any things that we have went through. But when I look back, I am just here to say that I am extremely blessed. And I'm so thankful that Cree is in our life because it has tremendously affected our family in such a positive way. Thank you guys so much for listening to my story today. It has been so therapeutic for me to be able to share with you. Thank you so much for valuing this platform that I have and coming back to listen to me over and over again. Please like and share this podcast. You can leave a review. Please follow us on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you ever want to email me, you can email me at unmasteringmotherhood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys.